Last night, the draft lottery is held. The Florida Panthers win it after losing it a year ago. And I guess Brian Burke was asked last night, do you draft in terms of organizational need today, or do you take the best player available? And he says, we just take the best athlete. Regardless of what's happening with our team right now, the GM can make trades to address that. We draft the best player. For the Florida Panthers, do you feel like maybe they would subscribe to the same philosophy? And if not, what is their greatest need at number one?
Well, I think there's a little bit of truth to that statement, but at the same point, there are guys available in every draft that can help you right away. And so overlooking that maybe necessarily isn't the best way to go about it. So I think for Florida, they've built a good young core already. You're starting to see a lot of those guys fill into their lineup. So for them, they're in a situation where, yeah, they probably want somebody in their lineup that's going to mold with what they're already doing. You know, they've had their picks the last few years play for them very early, within a year of being drafted. So it's another situation where there's a couple players at the top of that board that could fit into what they're already building and get in there right away. So it's a really good situation for them, I think, to end up with the top pick.
Yeah, they take, obviously, Jonathan Huberdeau. He missed a part of the season due to injury, but he is still a guy that is expected to be an impact player. They draft Barkov a year ago. He comes right in and was terrific. It would seem like if you were betting, they've got Ed Jovanovski, who's long in the tooth.
Jovo! Right?
Poor Jovo's getting gray. Brian Campbell is getting up in years as well. They have some young defense, but if they were to take Aaron Ekblad, the big defenseman, out of Barrie in the Ontario Hockey League, it would seem to go in concert with what they need now and really what they need going forward. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. I think that's probably the smart money right there, and it seems like a logical pick for them. But also, there are some other players there, Reinhardt and Bennett and Dal Cole, I think, would all fit in their mold. But I think, as I've said all along, if it was me picking it, it doesn't really matter who I am. I think I'm going after Ekblad, but for them it makes a lot more sense.
You, with the ISS, and you can find them online, isshockey.com, every single month you guys update your rankings, obviously, as players are finishing up their junior seasons or their NCAA seasons, or they get into the playoffs or what have you. The number one pick that you guys have as of this month is Sam Reinhardt of the Kootenay Ice, and fans in Calgary know all too well what Reinhardt was able to do in round one against the Hitmen. If there is, you hear a lot about his vision. He's not overly big. He's just a touch over 6 foot. He's 185 pounds. We'll need to get bigger, and you hear that all the time, and that's not a knock against him. But what's the negative side of Sam Reinhardt? Is it his ability to get bigger? Is it his foot speed? What might be the one asterisk to Reinhardt's game that would keep him back, even though you have him at the number one spot?
One thing with Reinhardt is he doesn't necessarily excel. He's not necessarily unbelievable in any one category. I mean, the vision is probably his strongest attribute, and the way that he thinks the game is extremely high. He's got a great hockey IQ, but he doesn't blow you away with speed. He doesn't have a whole lot of power in his game. He's not going to win a lot of space. He's got a good shot, but it's not a shot that you really need to be terrified of wherever he is. He's a very well-rounded player, but at the same point, there's not that one thing that really blows you away about Sam Reinhardt. So it's very similar to a couple other players in years past. I think Nugent Hopkins is one of the better examples of it, where he's maybe not as projectable in terms of getting in those battle areas and winning loose pucks. At the next level, there's still a little bit of concern about that move forward. He's more of a perimeter playmaker. So looking at a guy as a first-round pick like that, you really want him to amplify, because that'll be his biggest skill, is he'll be the amplifier. He'll be the guy that takes what's around him and makes those guys better. So if you're looking to start building, he's a good guy to start building. Or if you're looking to add to, maybe you've got some guys on the outside that look like they could use that, then he's a really strong strong pick for that. I mean, the reason we've got him number one right now is he's showing another level to his game, similar to what Nathan MacKinnon did last year. Come playoff time, and they're playing good teams, and he is dominating. So that's why we've got him at number one right now. That's something pretty special that a lot of even top prospects you don't see a whole lot from year to year. So we feel he's earned it for now, and he's a player that I think is going to have an extremely successful NHL career wherever he ends up. But as I said, there aren't a whole lot of attributes that when you watch him at first glance just jump out and you say, wow, that's an unbelievable player because of that particular attribute. So very well-rounded player, but maybe not the sexy pick that some other guys are that can blow you away with certain skills like Ekblad can.
Chatting with Ross McLean, head scout for the International Scouting Service here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Obviously, you hate defensemen. You've got no respect. There's absolutely no love for the defensemen in this draft. There's three in the top 30. What's going on?
It's not a strong year for high-end defensemen. It's a good draft for that sort of 5-6 defenseman. But in terms of finding a guy to fit in your top three, there's not a lot of guys that have really stepped up and shown at this point that they're going to project at that level. So if you're looking for D this year, it's going to be it's a depth draft for D. It's not a build your core around them outside of that probably top three.
Obviously, there's going to be a lot of attention in this province between the Oilers and Flames, both of them with obviously pick number three, pick number four. The Oilers, I would suppose, are hoping that Ekblad somehow falls to them, and maybe it does, because a year ago you couldn't have imagined that Seth Jones would be available at four, and he was. If Ekblad is gone, it would seem like the Oilers looking for depth at center. Between you talked about Sam Reinhart, he is a center. William Nylander, the son of Michael Nylander, Michael Dal Colle, and Leon Draisaitl of the Prince Albert Raiders, the three top centermen on your list. If, in fact, the Oilers are looking for a need at center, and if Ekblad is gone, who would be the best bet for them, do you see, at pick number three?
Well, I think they have a lot of players already in the mold of Reinhart and Sam Bennett, so they'd look for maybe somebody with maybe a little bit more jam to their game, maybe a different style. So I'd say Dal Colle is probably, as a center, the guy that they'd be looking at perhaps the most. Although, it would be hard to pass on a guy like Bennett or Reinhart. Dal Colle is just a little bit different and plays a different style than they do, and those guys fit in that mold with a lot of the players that they already have, the Eberles and Nugent Hopkins. And so if it was me, that's sort of the direction that I'd be leaning with Edmonton. But, again, you get a player with those skill sets and that level, it could become one of those just take the best player available and sort of deal with it from there, because there are other teams that could be looking for players like Bennett and Reinhart, and they might have a little bit more value, or they could create some value with other players that you already have in terms of trades moving forward.
Leon Draisaitl, the centerman out of Prince Albert, I'm guessing you would have had, because of proximity, a lot of opportunity to see him. And the people I've talked to, it's he's big, he's good. But it seems like there's always a little bit of trailing off. It's like they leave him he leaves them wanting just a little bit. What about Leon Draisaitl, who on your list is sixth, on others as high as three or four?
Well, I've watched him an absolute ton, and there are times where he looks like Evgeny Malkin. There are times where he looks like Jágr. There are times where he looks like Ryan Getzlaff. I mean, he can absolutely dominate. He can blow you away. Talk about vision. This is a kid that's got unbelievable vision. He's a tremendous playmaker. The issue with him is, game to game, what's he going to look like? So there are games where he's looked like Ryan Getzlaff, and then there are games where he's looked like Getzlaff's brother on the ice. So you don't know what you're going to get with him game to game. And he goes on streaks where he's absolutely dominant, but he goes on streaks where he's invisible as well. So it's not unheard of with a 17, 18-year-old kid to be a little bit unpredictable. So, but there is a little bit of concern about that consistency moving forward, and that's something actually we've seen a lot with a lot of the top prospects in this draft. But there's definitely some exciting ability there, and he's a guy that very much like Nichushkin last year is almost that boom or bust pick. What's he going to do when he gets to that next level? So he's going to be a very interesting player to see where he lands and to see how he develops over the next couple of years, because the talent and the ability there, I mean, he does have the ability to perhaps even get to the level of a guy like Ryan Getzlaf. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with him in the next few years.
I've saved Sam Bennett for last because it was interesting yesterday. Brian Burke was talking after the draft lottery was held that he's seen all the top four or five kids, but he's not seen Sam Bennett because when he went in to see him, he was suspended, which in a weird way Burke kind of likes. He is not overly big. He's 6 foot, 180 pounds. Had 118 penalty minutes. As mentioned, he was suspended. 91 points in 57 games because of that suspension. He's already over a point a game in the playoffs. It's weird. I expect a guy that has, you know, jam or has this type of element to his play to be a bigger guy, but he's not. Again, on your list is down at the number four spot, which is where the Flames play. What's to like, what's not to like in Sam Bennett?
Sam Bennett has tremendous skill, and he is uber competitive. He's the kind of guy that when the puck's on his stick, you can tell him a lot of things that he shouldn't be able to do because of his size or strength or whatever, but he's going to try and do it anyway. And when guys come in there and they bang him around a little bit, he punches back. He'll come back at you. So, you know, that level of skill mixed with that level of competitiveness is a nice asset, and that's what a lot of people get turned on about by Sam Bennett when you watch him play. The things that he's able to do with the puck are pretty exceptional in terms of pure technical skill. He's one of the top players in this draft, and he doesn't take anything from anybody. You know, if you want to push him around, he'll come back at you. So a lot of teams like that, not something that goes very well in terms of projecting for the next level. You know, but the one issue there is that you can throw him off his game a little bit. And at the next level, there are guys that make millions of dollars to do that. So, again, there's a lot to like about Sam Bennett, but there's a few concerns and just about whether or not he's going to be able to continue to play at the level that he does at the next with the next step.
The third player on your list, again, a centerman, and Michael Dalcol. I'll leave William Nylander because, again, I have a feeling we're going to be talking a lot. But right now where it sits, Michael Dalcol moves up to number three on your spot. The top four, Reinhardt, Ekblad, Dalcol, and Sam Bennett, with Dreisaitl falling to six and Nylander at five. But for Dalcol, a little bit bigger, plays for Oshawa. You love having the bigger center, or at least a centerman who can play, and obviously this kid can. What's his year been like from the start of the year till now? What have you seen from him in terms of progression?
Well, I watched him at the Canada Under-18 camp in the summer, and I'd known a little bit about him. I'd watched him play a couple times the year before, but he really impressed me in that camp. Just the competitive level, the way he thinks the game, he's always in the right spot. Just very strong positional instincts, but was also significantly stronger than a lot of other players out there. Was going at it with Ekblad a few times where they'd collide and not many people were able to get Ekblad stumbling on his skates very much or absorb contact from him, but Dalcol certainly was able to. Then he started the season, and all year long he's developed. His development path has been incredible. He's been trending upwards nonstop. You get him into the playoffs now and he's operating at close to 2 points a game. I mean, this is a guy that just keeps getting better and better, and shows up at the right times. When the best players are around, he seems to be one of the most noticeable guys. So I think that speaks volumes to why we feel so highly about him. He's one of my favorite players in this entire draft. I think he's the kind of guy that fits well with any organization. He's a natural center, but I've seen him play the wing a few times as well, and he looks really good there also. So it's a kid with some versatility that you can mold into playing sort of whatever role you need him to play. But I think he's going to be a really strong top-line offensive player for one of these teams in the not-too-distant future.
Well, it's funny. We talked to you last year and the Flames at six. It felt like they were maybe on the outside of that top group. And obviously MacKinnon has been, you know, MacKinnon's been good and Seth Jones. And I expect that we're going to see Jonathan Drouin make the NHL next year and all that, but they seem to come away all right with Sean Monahan. But this year, it feels like they're in that group, don't you? The top four, it feels like that's where do you see that drop off? Because there's different groupings, and this draft year maybe is not as strong as last year's or next year's. But where is the drop off as you see it?
Well, I think every year we see tiers in the way the draft is set, and I do believe that right now it's almost kind of at 4.5, because I say half because you can almost have Draisaitl in there, depending on which Draisaitl we're talking about. But I really believe that our top four there, Reinhardt, Ekblad, Bennett, and Dal Colle, is that first tier, and Draisaitl's sort of right there looking into it, but then that is really sort of the beginning of the second tier. Maybe there's a little bit better of a segue into the second tier than we've seen in previous years, but that's the first drop-off I'd see in this draft is through that top four. So I think those top four are fairly interchangeable in my mind. I think we talked about this before, but supply and demand, Ekblad is that law of economics, the top guy that every team will probably covet a little more, especially those teams with the top four picks. And then you've got those other three guys that are right in there. So I don't think you can really go wrong with any of those four guys.
Ross, appreciate it as always, man. I have a feeling we'll be talking a lot over the next few months. And in advance, we appreciate all of that coming up. Have a good one, man.
Always a pleasure. It's a great time of year for me.
You bet. We'll talk soon.
All right.
You bet. Ross McLean with the ISS, International Scouting Service. Their top four: Sam Reinhardt, Aaron Ekblad, Michael Dal Colle, and Sam Bennett.